It's another Saturday morning when we invite Jack Farrow from Haskell's into the station and his wine chat. Good morning, Jack, and the last Saturday of February.
Yes, and March is coming in like a lamb.
Well, so far, we'll find out tonight. Maybe snow overnight tonight. We'll find out.
At any rate, what I thought we might chat about today is a favorite wine of mine that doesn't get a lot of attention and is one of the great bargains in the wine world, and that is Beaujolais. I like Beaujolais so much, I named my fourth son Beaujolais. And so it's really a very interesting wine, I think. I remember one wag in London at a tasting said, Beaujolais is a fabulous white wine that just happens to be red. And there's a little truth to that, because Beaujolais is made from the Gamay grape, which has a very thin skin and is extremely low in tannin and extremely high in acidity, much like a Chardonnay would be. In fact, Chardonnay, there is such a thing as white Beaujolais, and it's high in acidity, much like a Chardonnay would be. In fact, Chardonnay, there is such a thing as white Beaujolais, and it's made from Chardonnay grapes, but it's so small. In fact, when we talk about both white Beaujolais and Beaujolais Rosé, which is made, we're talking about less than 2.5% of the production. The other 97.5% is all red wine. And it's a light-bodied red wine with, as I said, high acidity and a big production, so it usually isn't very expensive. The wine takes its name from the town of Beaujolais, and it's different. Some people regard Beaujolais as part of Burgundy because in many ways it's stylized in Burgundy. But the Gamay grape is totally and completely different. As a matter of fact, the Dukes of Burgundy, Philip the Bold in about 1380 or something like that, outlawed the production or the use of the Gamay grape because he called it disloyal. And he said the Dukes of Burgundy were known throughout Christendom for their fine wines, and Gamay wasn't regarded as a fine wine. So they Gamay slipped way to the bottom, and it's quite a bit south of Burgundy. But there's similarities with it. The Romans are the ones that planted the vineyards in Beaujolais, and it really started on the hillside. They made a wine called Bruceus, and it come from Bruy, Mount Bruy, and they also planted around Morgan and some of the other villages there, have actual Roman runes in them that you can see. And then throughout the Middle Ages, most of the viticulture was done by the monks, the Benedictine monks. And so the wine was strictly local. They stopped exporting it when the Romans left France. And so it sat in sleepy silence for about 300-400 years. And then back in the early 1700s, they started to export Beaujolais up to Paris on the rivers. And, of course, if you've ever had a pichette of wine in a French cafe, a pichette of red wine, chances are 9 out of 10 you were getting a Beaujolais. Beaujolais is considered the cafe wine of Paris. And anytime you stop in a cafe and have a little pichette, those are the little crafts of their house wine, those are generally always Beaujolais. And Beaujolais stayed popular in France, particularly the capital city, for a long time. And then it began to move around the world, but that wasn't until the 70s. And what really kicked off Beaujolais was in the very early 80s, the introduction of something called, the early 70s, the introduction of something called Beaujolais Nouveau, which was released in the year it's made. And that's, of course, one of the charms of the Gamay grape, that Nouveau Beaujolais actually takes only about 5 or 6 days to go from grape juice to wine. And it's very popular with that advent and better travel, etc. You could get Nouveau Beaujolais all over the world. And while it did a lot to popularize the word Beaujolais, it really didn't do much to popularize Beaujolais itself, because Beaujolais itself is a wonderful wine. Nouveau is pleasant. It's a wonderful experience. It's fun to have a bottle or two of it when it first comes out, the indication of the vintage and several other things. But for serious wine drinkers, Nouveau Beaujolais just doesn't really cut the mustard. It's popular again here because it happens to go very, it's released about Thanksgiving time, and it's a good wine to have with your Thanksgiving dinner because you want a light, red, simple wine. And so now, with Beaujolais Nouveau waning in popularity, people are going back to those regular Beaujolais that were neglected for such a long time. Like I said, Beaujolais is a marvelous, marvelous wine. And Georges de Boeuf was really the pioneer that changed everything, because he began to export Nouveau Beaujolais, and de Boeuf almost became synonymous with Beaujolais. And today, he still is very prominent in the Nouveau area, but he also sells an awful lot of very good Beaujolais, and he's considered a négociant. Now, a négociant is a Burgundian wine trader, if you will, who buys wine sometimes in bulk, sometimes already in barrels, in single barrels, and then bottles it, so the farmer doesn't do anything but supply you the grape, or sometimes supply you the wine itself. And these négociants are the names you want to look for when you're looking at Beaujolais, starting, of course, with de Boeuf. Then there's Jadot, which is a great house in Burgundy, as is Latour, Malmaison. Bouchard is a fabulous house. Good friends of ours have Bouchard. And their Beaujolais happens to be pretty good. The climate of Beaujolais is a little different, a little more softer than Burgundy. They aren't subject to those cold snaps that are very, very common in Burgundy. So the vintages aren't as variable in Beaujolais. In fact, the difference between a great vintage and a poor vintage is really very small. And Beaujolais should be served chilled. It's just better when it has a little bit of a chill on it. You'll find that the wines are really remarkable because, in fact, if you were in Beaujolais and you're in the center of one of the little villages, you'll see the old men who come down to do boules and that bowling pin kind of game, and they'll have a bucket of cold water and their bottle of Beaujolais in there to have it chilled on a hot day. It's very pleasant, and it's in order to chill that. So anyhow, let's talk a little bit about the appellations of Beaujolais. As I said, they make white, and they make a rosé. And then there's simple Beaujolais, and that's just the lowest category of Beaujolais. And then Beaujolais Village. Beaujolais Village has an extra degree in alcohol, and it gives it a little more strength. And they govern the yield of a Beaujolais Village, which isn't very well enforced for Beaujolais. So they cut down the production amount. So Beaujolais Village is a little better than regular two-cour Beaujolais or of the town Beaujolais. Then there's the crews of Beaujolais, and I'll go into those in a moment. They're really remarkable. The most popular one in the United States is Brewis, and also Moulin-Avant is very good, and it's named for a local windmill. Moulin-Avant translates windmill in French, and the Moulin-Avant, I've had that when I was 20, 30 years old, tastes like a fine old Burgundy. So we've got Beaujolais Village and the Cruz of Beaujolais, and as I said, Beaujolais Blanc and Beaujolais Rosé. There's just such a small amount of that wine produced, we won't even discuss it. It's fun to have. Beaujolais Blanc, frankly, you're better off to buy a Mâconnais or a Saint Véran other than to try Beaujolais Blanc so you know you've had it. But it, like I say, you get better wine and for about the same amount of money in a Mâconnais, which is a close-by district, or Saint-Véran, which is another close-by district, that both sort of specialize in Chardonnay. Now, as I said, Bruy is not only the most popular, it's the biggest crew, and it gets its name from Mont Bruy. And some of the Bruys are absolutely delicious. There's a new recently recognized crew called Renier. And this is a colorful new crew, and it's they claim the site of where the Romans planted the original vineyards. It's the best. And then Chirobles. Chirobles is higher on upper hills. It's got a nice wine and has a delicate nose. Sometimes you can even get violets in the nose. Then the medium bodies would be the Bruy, as I said, Côte de Bruy, Fleury, and Saint-Amour. Saint-Amour, of course, they say it was named after a Roman soldier, but I don't know that for sure. And it's a nice crew. Then there's the more full-bodied Beaujolais, the last crews, Chenas, which has a touch of the soil in the nose, a little thing that the French sort of like, Guerre de Trois. And then Julianus, this is after Julius Caesar is the one who they named the town after, Julianus. And they're spicy, good berry flavor, etc. Then Morgon, again, an earthier wine. And then lastly, Moulin Avant. And there's where the real treasure of Beaujolais is in these Moulin Avant. They actually take bottle age fairly well. Beaujolais should be drunk very young. It doesn't benefit from much aging at all. It should be really drunk under 5 years. It makes for a very nice wine. And as I said, the best part of Beaujolais is its affordability. Beaujolais is not a very expensive wine, and you can even get estate bottle Beaujolais for reasonable prices. Again, a good way to look for Beaujolais is looking for the négociant, because the négociants account for about 75 to 80% of the Beaujolais sold around the world. And I mentioned them before, Jadot, Bouchard, Latour, and of course Dubuff are well known, and you can look for those wines as you go. Now, besides being the only white wine that happens to be red that our WAG friend described, Beaujolais are really great wines for picnics because they go so well with any picnic or a salad. The lighter Beaujolais pair very well with poultry. Heavier Beaujolais, like that Chenas or Moulin Avant, are good with any kind of meat. And don't forget, Beaujolais is probably best with Coq au Vin, because it was invented in Beaujolais. The Coq au Vin was literally the old farm rooster that finally kicked the bucket and tough as could be, and they put him in a bottle of Beaujolais and boil it all day and have chicken stew, and thus developed Coq au Vin, and it goes well with Beaujolais, that's for sure. And, oh, say incidentally, you might want to open a bottle of Beaujolais. Tonight is Open That Bottle Night. And that was pioneered by a writing couple who wrote for the Wall Street Journal, a husband and wife. And they'd say, Open That Bottle Night. And what the idea was people that have wine cellars always are saving a bottle for this or that or that. And I remember a friend telling me, what are you saving that for? Why don't you drink it now? And I totally agree with that. What are you saving it for? Drink it now. Tonight is Open That Bottle Night, so why not open up a bottle of a wonderful wine that you have in your cellar and make it a celebratory evening?
Perfect.
How about that?
Life is too short not to do that.
Indeed.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what, always a great show, Jack. Tell us about Haskell's and where we can find all these great wines you talk about.
All these great wines are available at Haskell's, and stop in and buy a special bottle for Open That Bottle Night. We have some wonderful BOGOs. We just got in this Tobias Sauvignon Blanc, who's Rick Foreman's son, and it's a BOGO at $22.99, a real steal. And Macon Village that I mentioned is better than White Beaujolais. We've got one of those that is a BOGO, two for $19.99. That's $10 a bottle. And then, of course, we have one of Ted Farrell's favorite Pinot Noirs, Lockwood. It's $24.99 BOGO, so that's $12 a bottle. And you can buy any of these at Haskell's, and there's a Haskell's near you where you can pick them up. There's a Haskell's in Bloomington, Excelsior, Faribault. Our super cellar up in Maple Grove is not to be missed. In downtown Minneapolis, there's free parking on Saturday and Sunday. Of course, Haskell's at Ridgedale. There's a Haskell's in Plymouth and St. Paul's Highland Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and, of course, Woodbury, too. And if you can't come in, go to Haskell's.com, and we can take care of delivering the wine right to your door. And don't forget, we observe all the protocols, so Haskell's is a safe place to shop as well as a good place to get your wine. After all, we are the wine people.
Yes, indeed, Jack. Well, let's talk again next week.
I'm going to look forward to that, Denny.
Thank you. Jack Farrell from Haskell's.